Today we're going to be reading out of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch dries up, and they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father who loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full.
Can you hear me? Thank you, Todd. I'm not going to do much walking around, but I thought I'd get a little closer to you. I love this time of year. I love the air getting colder and crisper. I love the thought of the first snow drawing near. In fact, I wish it was a little colder outside right now. I know, yeah, I'm losing quick. And I got a new reason I love this time of year. You see, my hometown, Kansas City Royals, have decided that this is a pretty fun time of year to play baseball. Only took them 30 years to remember that. But most of all, I love this time of year because of the holiday season. You couldn't tell that right. Red and green, I'm already kind of jumping the gun. Last week, if you were here, I let out the service with a Christmas song, or a song about our Savior's birth. So, it's no secret that, I love the holidays. I love the season. I have memories, traditions, old family traditions I like to look back on and remember and cherish from my childhood. I love passing on some of those traditions and to my family now, to my young kids. And I love making new ones, new family traditions. And then the thought that they will do the same as they grow up just kind of warms my heart, that they will hold on to those memories and they may pass down some of the traditions that that I've started. We just got done with Halloween. That's a personal favorite of mine. I love Halloween. I do not like the idea of dressing up as your favorite superhero or movie star or fictional character and just someone that you'd rather be for a day, And then you get to go knocking on strangers' doors and they have to give you candy. What's not great about that, And of course, now I have young kids of my own, and it's just as much, if not more, fun to watch them do the same thing. But I love the month of October. It's a great month. My wife and I share the love of October, and we decided to get married in this month. It's such a pretty month. And we, you got hay rides, you got pumpkin patches, you got corn mazes, chili and soup, and heck, we did all that as a church one day, all in one day. So it's a fun time of year. Now we're into November, and yes, Christmas has already entered many of our minds, whether we like it or not. But Thanksgiving is a time I definitely cherish. It's not something to be skipped over. Eating a big feast with family and friends, and watching the parade on TV. And after your bellies are full and you got to loosen your pants a little bit, you flip on the TV and watch the Detroit Lions get pummeled by whoever they're playing. Sorry, none of my Michigan family is here, so I can say that. You know, right? And then there's the granddaddy of them all, Christmas. You know. You got Santa Claus, presents, eggnog, caroling, you know, making fudge, candy. I could go on and on. I think you get the idea. But do we all here share the same feelings for the holidays? Do you all share the same feeling I do? And how we choose to recognize them, how we choose to celebrate, or how we choose to not celebrate them? No, we don't. And we all have different reasons. We all have many different reasons for how we recognize the holiday season. They might change as different circumstances allow them. So who's right? Who's wrong? What does the Bible say about all these holidays? I read reading out of Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. It says, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. What I get out of that, you know, celebrate a certain day if you want to, and don't if you don't want to. I would say don't judge your brother or sister, whether they're celebrating it or whether they're not. But if you do choose to celebrate, it says do it for the Lord. Find a way to honor God through it. Well, that's easy enough, right? Especially for some of those holidays, right? The Christian holidays, you know, Christmas and Easter. Yeah, those are easy to honor God through those, right? The two big ones. Sure. In fact, I had an idea that this year I want to treat those holidays the same way the early church did. So I started researching, looked through the Bible, just see how did these holidays start? You know, how did the early church use them to honor God? Well, guess what? I couldn't find Christmas in the Bible. I couldn't find Easter in the Bible. There wasn't anything about them in there. And I didn't do any too much extensive research on the internet about how these holidays started, but from what I understand, a lot of them had some pretty dark roots. A lot of them paganistic roots. Even the ones that most of the world deem Christian holidays today. So my thought is, if we can take something so worldly, that started out so worldly, or even evil origins, and turn it into a Christ-like day or a season focused on Christ, and isn't that a victory for the Lord? If Christmas time has the unsaved a little bit more primed to hear about this man called Jesus and how he was born, how he came into this world, wouldn't I be passing on a big opportunity not to tell that story to him? If I choose to steer clear of linking Jesus and Christmas at all, isn't that missing out on an opportunity there? Or maybe the door has been opened for that conversation, and I close it quickly by saying, it's not Jesus' birthday. Don't you know that? We don't know when he was born. Or something like, you realize we have no idea how many wise men there were. Or that they didn't even visit him until he was probably one or two. No, those are truths. But is that the best way to go about it? Is that the best way to approach that situation? Or should I spend a little bit of time telling them the beautiful story of how our Savior was born and the most humble of circumstances? See where that conversation might lead. And I'm not saying don't give them a true account of this birth story. I'm just saying don't whap them upside the head with it. Hey, got Abby's attention. And now, you know, the year 2015, well, many believe there's a war on Christmas. And there's some that have taken up their swords and are leading the charge against the sinister Starbucks. And the new diabolical weapon, the Red Cup. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's probably a good thing. It's best you not know. But I'll fill you in a little bit. Starbucks, they removed their snowflakes from their cups, and they're just plain red now. And someone became very offended and think it's an attack on a Christmas holiday. And this is really, sadly, this is the way our society is these days. In the internet, you probably got one guy, one girl that posted something on the internet about it, and it just caught fire. And all the people start getting angry, sharing it, and boycotting, and not even really knowing probably what the true story is, you know. Everybody just piling on. Turns into a bit of a revolution. Nobody knowing who started it, how it started, what the true facts are. Never mind, you can walk into a Starbucks and see the Christmas ornaments that they're selling and the coffee that says Christmas burned on it and, you know, on and on and on. I mean, are you kidding me? Starbucks is as big a business as it gets. You think they're going to miss out on the biggest business holiday that we have? No way. They're going to cash in. It'd be foolish of them not to. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if someone from Starbucks started the whole controversy. Think about that. It sure has brought a lot of attention to him. When I think about Christians or getting worked up about something like that, it makes me sad. I look at verses like Matthew 23:23. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. There's weightier matters for the Christian than a silly plain red cup. In fact, it's not our battle. It's not our holiday. None of them are. There are no Christian holidays. I got thinking about that. Talking about these holidays and how they didn't start off from, most of them from Christian backgrounds. What if we did start a holiday? What if we had a Christian holiday? What would it look like? Like, I think I found one that would be a pretty good one. A good representation of our faith. Let me suggest, as the first true Christian holiday, Orphan Sunday. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The month of November has already picked up some steam as a bit of an orphan awareness month on the internet and things. More and more congregations are doing Orphan Sundays. There's a problem. Having one day, or even an entire month, dedicated to bringing awareness to the orphan problem. One day to set aside for prayer for the orphan. One day to give to the orphan. One. Doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem like near enough. When God hears their cry every day, every hour, every minute, for us to just give up one day. So there lies the barrier of having a Christian holiday. Two words shouldn't even sit next to each other in the sentence. Especially, and I looked up the definition of holiday. A day of festivity or recreation when no work is done. I started looking at some of our holidays and the attitudes and behaviors that we might have during these holiday seasons, believers and non-believers alike. I look at Thanksgiving, a day to count our blessings, get a day to give thanks to God for what we have. Christmas, many things, you know, we put others before ourselves. It's a time to give. People might feel a little bit more prone to help the helpless. You know, or even acts of kindness to strangers. Valentine's Day, the day of love. It's the greatest commandment, right? One day for that. How about Easter? It's a day to focus on the cross. Maybe a day to share the gospel, share the good news to someone who hasn't heard it before. Well, that's all pretty good stuff. Again, those are ways we can utilize those holidays by giving it to the Lord. But just one day to count our blessings. One day to give thanks to God for what we have. One day to put others before ourselves and help a stranger out. Have you feed a homeless man? One day for love? One day to focus on the cross? Shouldn't the cross be on our mind all the time? Shouldn't we be loving all the time? Shouldn't we be putting others before ourselves all the time? Shouldn't we be counting our blessings, giving thanks in everything that we do all the time? They should be. For the disciple, for the follower of Christ, they should be year-round. And as a kid, and even today, I used to think, as a kid a little bit more so, because you don't really see as much there's a lot of negativities, the commercialization and everything that surrounds Christmas especially. And I think I saw a lot more of people's attitudes and the giving and the kindness, and I always thought, man, wouldn't that be great if people were in that mindset, in that spirit, year-round. If that's the way we treated each other, year-round. It gives you a little bit of a glimpse of how things could be. Oddly enough, in one part of that definition I read of holiday does ring true. And that's the two words, no work. You might think, no work, we got work to do. Well, to have these attitudes, to have what we're talking about here, it doesn't take any work by us. It shouldn't be work to us. All we have to do is stay attached to the vine. What Todd read earlier. Jesus is the vine. The true vine. And we are the branches. We don't have to worry about producing the fruit. The Holy Spirit does that for us. All we have to do is stay connected to the vine, and that fruit will automatically happen. The Holy Spirit will produce the good fruit. Not the Christmas Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Counselor that God has sent to dwell inside us and produce fruit. And God will prune us. Why? So we can produce more fruit. We can bear more fruit. And it will all be to His glory. The good fruit, it's outward actions that result from the condition of the heart. It's automatic. It takes no effort. It's not work. Imagine a branch detached, laying on the ground here, trying to produce fruit as hard as it can. It's a ridiculous thought. It's never going to happen. That branch lying on the ground, detached from the vine, as hard as it tries, will not produce the fruit. The only way it can happen is if we stay attached to the vine. If we abide in Him, He will abide in us. And His joy will be in us, that our joy may be full. This is Orphan Sunday. This time I'm going to play a DVD presentation. After that's over, I'll go ahead and have a few more things to say, and then the kids will get to come up and empty their orphan jars.
Jesse, if that innocent and crooked little smile doesn't melt hearts, I can't imagine what would. I know it melted mine. Just take a look at her innocent little face and imagine the following. Jesse was born in the slums of South India. Her parents are migrant workers who earn just pennies per day. One day, a few months ago, Jesse woke up on the dirt floor of the shack she lived in and brushed the dust from her face and arms. She looked over to the place where her parents slept and found that they were gone. Days went by, but Jesse's parents never returned. The slum Jesse lived in was filled with people living in extreme poverty. Still, they did their best to care for her when they learned that she'd been abandoned by her parents. That's where the director of one of our India children's homes found her. He went to visit a friend in the area and heard a story about a little girl living in the neighborhood. He learned that her parents had left her and that during the day, when the people cared for her left for work, she was left tied up and alone all day on the dirt floor in the corner of the home. Their version of babysitting, but without the babysitter, or food, or water. The director immediately contacted us and told us Jesse's story. In less than an hour, we made the decision and gave him instructions to immediately bring the girl to our licensed children's group home. Jesse did very well in the home. She was happy and loved and cared for. She had her own bed, her own clothes, and attended school and church. She ate and played and prayed with the other children in the home, and the fear, anger, and sadness all melted away. Finally, she could just be a child. Very recently, Jesse's mother returned. Her father did not, and we learned that he was killed in an accident. Jesse's mother has finally chosen to be just that, a mother. And so Jesse has returned to her home to live with her mother with the understanding and promise that she will notify us immediately if she's unable to care for Jesse in the way that she is now accustomed. The way all children deserve to be cared for. A happy story, at least so far. Jesse is unique, but her story is not. Here are just a few of some children with stories very similar to hers that we've taken off the streets in just the past few months. This is what we do. This is what you do, what you make possible. Many of you have been supporting this mission for more than a decade. Just imagine what that means. It means that there are young adults now living life in their communities who were just small children when we first started. Back then, they had no hope. Back then, they were lucky to be alive at all. But then you stepped in. You stepped in and said, I will help. I will love these children. I will love them from afar and give them what they need, what they deserve. I will give them a home. I will give them food and clothes, and I will give them an education. I will teach them about God and Jesus and show them His love. You said that. You made this possible with your gift, with your love, and you glorified God in the process. Consider this young man. Not only did he graduate from school, but he just got a great job at a bank in his own community. And this young man in India has an engineering degree. Now he's working on a second component to that degree. And so is this young man. And here is a young woman who grew up in one of our homes in India. Now she's married and has children of her own. She loves them very much and cares for them every day. The cycle has been broken. Now think about Jesse. Think about the successful young adults you just saw. Think about their smiles and about the love they feel inside. How safe and warm and full of life and hope they are. Then imagine them back where they came from. Imagine what their lives would have been like if it weren't for you. They came from the streets and jungles, from sewers and slums. They came from broken homes and wars and disease. They were abandoned and neglected, abused and trafficked, thrown in dumpsters and left on doorsteps. They were forced to beg, even mutilated, to make them more pitiful to potential givers. They were forced locked into labor if they wanted to eat and then given scraps from the table to eat off the floor. They rummaged through trash to find anything of value or something to eat. They slept in doorways and burnt out shells of cars. They turned to gangs and pimps and slave drivers just to survive. They have lost their parents to war and disease, alcoholism and drug abuse, even willful abandonment and neglect. They had no hope, no dreams, couldn't read or write, and they didn't know God. Jungles, away from the gangs and pimps and ill-willed relatives. He took them off the cold concrete and out of the dumps, out of the shacks filled with filth and little more. You healed their wounds and healed their hearts. He gave them clothes and fed them and gave them someone who loved them and tucked them in at night with a prayer. You gave them social workers to help them heal the scars inside and doctors to heal the scars outside. You gave them an education and a reason to dream. You gave them hope. You gave them a home. You taught them how to build and taught them how to grow crops and raise animals. You taught them to be charitable and give back to their communities, the lowest of the low, now caring for themselves and feeding the poor around them. You removed the label that had been given by society and turned the word orphan into something to be respected. No longer are they considered a broken organism or a child that no one wanted. You sent them to college and sent them to tech schools. They are becoming nurses and engineers and teachers and preachers. They will come away from it all with the skills, education, and desire to care for themselves, their children, and others. Thank you. Deserves. You've shown them God's love in your actions. You've given them a future. Consider Jesse's story. Consider the stories of successful young adults. Then multiply that by thousands and you will begin to understand what is being done. Lives and communities have changed in ways that will last and multiply through the generations to come. Bridges of trust have been built between people and countries. So much has changed for the better, and for thousands of children, the cycle that creates orphans in the first place has been broken. But there's much more to do. The number of children that we care for grows and is perpetual. When a child graduates from a home and moves on in life, a new child enters the home. We need to care for more children in more homes as well. Many of us suffer the same fate these children used to suffer, and God loves and has compassion for each and every one of them. Without people like you, nothing would have changed. Without you, nothing more will change. Please consider what you can do, looking back upon what your love and compassion has already accomplished. We can't let them go back to this, and millions continue to suffer in this way.
Imagine if I was to share that video on my Facebook feed. Do you think it would spark the outrage that the Red Cup sparked? Well, it should. And I have shared things like that on the internet, images like that, videos like that. And they mostly go clicked over, unnoticed. Why not? Why doesn't millions of orphans that are living like that spark the kind of outrage, start the kind of movement, get the kind of reaction that some of these silly things that we see do? I've put a couple of flyers on the table as you walk in, because one of the things we need to think about the holidays are, outside of us, how do others celebrate them? Yes, orphans celebrate the holidays, and this flyer here I folded inside out on purpose to show it's a Christmas list that many of the orphanages turned in. And it's always interesting to see what they're asking for. A lot of times, you know, they want clothes, they want a cake, you know, they want a soda pop. But these are ways that we can give through this organization of Orphans Lifeline International, specifically to these lists. You can get specific with your donations, and there's mail-in forms, as well as, this is a different flyer, but it's also it's a way that you can have a card made. You donate money, like $10 a card, and you give it out as a Christmas present in honor of. So a couple of different interesting ways. I encourage you to pick those up. If they run out, let me know. This time, my favorite time, we'll have the kids come up and empty their jars. Sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones do not belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. You can keep the buckets and continue to fill them year-round. So, Samson, why don't you stay up here? Sean, you want to come up? Help, give me a hand. Kanan, you want to come up here? Dorothy. Oh, we're going to pick the collection. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to take up a collection for the orphans here. So, if you want to... First, let's, as a congregation, let's say a prayer, okay? Right. Dear Father, we come to you in prayer. We lift up the orphan. We pray that we are able to help them have not only a good holiday, but to better their lives. We pray this money will go to help them get an education, help them eventually learn trades, to help put clothes on their back, to help put food on their tables, to help them know you. Dear Lord, we ask that you break our hearts for what breaks yours. We ask that you bless this gift, and we pray that we can help break the cycle. It's through Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.